When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, guys? My name is Rob. That is Cresta. Yes, as you can see, it says Joel Pearl. I'm not Joel Pearl. I just didn't have time to fix it because I've been doing all kinds of things for Fightful today. But I am so proud to be here. I'm so happy to be here. This is the first time I've been able to do this show, and it's the first time I've been able to work with Cresta. So
I hope you're ready.
I'm excited. let's do it. I'm excited. So, guys, I want to say thank you for being here. Joel will be back next week. Right now, he is investigating the 1997 screw job in Montreal. He says he's there to interview people. I don't buy it. I think he's there
to see his dad, Scott D'Amore, and spend time with his father.
Yes, Scott D'Amore, his dad. It's going to be good. I love how different people on Twitter have just been saying different things what he's doing there. It's been great. So
we love a good harmless lie over here. Nothing's wrong with a good harmless lie.
Yes. So, guys, get in your super chats and your humper chats. We are going to talk to Impact. It was a pretty interesting night. They got a lot of stuff set up for their upcoming show. Look who's here. Let's bring him in.
Hello.
Oh, we got Joel on the street. We got Joel.
I just want to say hi. I just want to pop in. I can barely hear you all because I don't have my earbuds, but just saying hi. Everybody get in, do the super chat, humper chat, do the things. Y'all will talk about it. I'm really upset that I missed Impact tonight because I missed like all the fun. All the good stuff. But I'm in Elimination Chamber Montreal. I'm going to be talking to WWE Superstars tomorrow. And I'll be at the show on Saturday night. And I got Tim from Overbooked. So that's fun.
I told people you're investigating the show.
Rob, you rule. Thank you.
He said I can't hear you. He's not going to let you talk.
I got you. I'm sorry. I love you all.
That's okay. Yeah, that's fine. I'm like, he didn't hear me, so it's good.
He was like, whatever you're saying, Rob, it doesn't matter. I'm the crowd. I'm talking over you.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm cool with it. So I see that we have new members too, so I want to shout that out. Inferno Fireboy joins us, so thank you for that. And Sean Taggart joins us. And we have a super chat from my good friend Ryan Sullivan, who says, Joel, you look so different. Yes. And Ryan, I appreciate you, my friend. Ryan, who's with the Mark Order podcast. So thank you, buddy, for being here tonight. Oh, so this show started off with one of my absolute favorites, Kushida. Mm-hmm. I love Kushida. And when Joel asked me to do this show, I was like, absolutely, you're giving me Chris Bay and Kushida. Absolutely.
It's free. On TV, it's free.
But the one thing, too, that actually started before this was Impact honoring Jerry Jarrett, who was a co-founder of TNA, which later would become Impact Wrestling. I got to say, first off, thank you to Jerry Jarrett for what he's done to this business, what he's brought to this business. He's brought so much, and it's amazing how a lot of people behind the scenes don't know what some of these promoters have done. Like the people, like, I mean, this guy, I told somebody the other day, Flex Cavana, depending on how some people say it, The Rock, you know, back at USWA days, this was the guy that gave him that name. So it's very interesting, and he will definitely be missed. Jeff Jarrett, I can't believe he wrestled last night. One of those things where you just want to say thank you. But it was obviously, I knew they would do something, and that was good.
I agree. I liked how they honor people, because they even did one for Don West not too long ago. Unfortunately, all these good souls from wrestling are passing on to the next life, going to the ring, into the sky. But I will give props to Impact Wrestling for always doing, as of late especially, their video packages have been superb. So rest in peace.
Yes.
Mr. Jarrett. I don't want to say the wrong thing. So if I hesitate, I'm choosing my words very carefully, because it's someone's family. You know what I mean? So I hope the best for their family, because I know they're still grieving.
Yeah. Yep. No, absolutely. So this match starts with basically, like I stated, two of the best, in my opinion, that Impact has. Kushida just absolutely nails Chris Bay with a springboard back elbow, which I just absolutely love this. They're just going back and forth. What stood out for you in this match? Was there anything in particular that you really just dug, just loved? Because this was a match, this is the first time that we've seen Kushida in over a month, or almost a month. So it's been at least 3.5 weeks, so...
I mean, I liked how in the beginning Kushida was really trying to slow it down. Like, Kushida can either play very technical, or he could play very high flyer, like your typical X Division people, like your Trey Miguel's. He was not having that. And when Chris Bay was like, no, slow it down, do strong with you. I liked that, because she was like, no, we're doing it my way. I'm not going to let you do what you want to me. However, I was upset that Chris Bay took the pin, because I've been campaigning for Chris Bay to get more respect, Aces of Bay to get more respect, especially I feel like if they're going to win the title. I don't want to see Kushida eat the pin either, but I'd rather a screwy finish, you know what I mean, rather than it be like this.
Yeah, and that was his first match since New Year's Revolution, so January 21st, so it's good to see him back. Kushida, and you're right, the fact that Chris Bay took the pin, I was actually, you know, the thing is,
surprised.
Yeah, the thing is, yeah, exactly, I was surprised too. I was thinking maybe with an outside interference type thing, I usually hate those, but I was thinking maybe you could at least do something to maybe protect this, and because I think they are going to win the titles, I really do.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think if there was a way to protect both of them where they don't look not so much silly, but it does suck the air or a little bit of the momentum out of Aces of Base. I don't think it'll be, they lost to Kushida. How can they win? It might put a little heat on them, if anything, but I just wish it finished a little differently. The match overall was good. Kushida targeting Bay's left arm over and over, especially after, there was a part in the match where Bay hops over Kushida in a counter and then kicks back and then into a flip and kicks him with his back. I don't even know how to describe it. Yeah. It was so fluid. But then Kushida answered right back with a stiff kick right to his left arm. I like how commentary put over the fact that Bay is left-handed. So if he's doing any of his moves, that's why he's targeting his left arm, because typically they target the right arm because everyone's right-handed. Oh.
Yeah, he sold it the whole time too. And that's one thing that was really good, how they kept on selling the arm, how Chris Bay kept on selling the arm. And then you had both men just exchanging strikes towards the end. And I think the one thing that might have helped with Chris Bay in this was the way they did the roll-up pin. I think that might have been where they were thinking that they could possibly protect him. But Kushida got the roll-up victory. And the other thing too is maybe they look at it like, hey, you lost to Kushida. It's really not that bad of a loss then, you know?
So. Yeah, Kushida's really a really superb wrestler. So of all the people to lose to, it's not like you lost to, even losing to Bully Ray, because you know Bully Ray cheated, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, absolutely. So it's, is just, I think after talking about it more with you, I'm starting to realize that maybe this was the right call because it adds a little bit more intrigue for the tag team championship. So it's not as bad. It's just thinking about the way it could go now after seeing Kushida get the win and Motor City Machine Guns being there with, I think it's going to be okay. I think they'll be fine.
In that case, I feel like it's two faces versus each other. So it's hard because, you know, Motor City Machine Guns was not going to cheat. And Ace Austin, who I feel has the propensity to cheat, did not. Because I feel like maybe they're trying to do it the right way, whatever it is. I don't hate it. I just wish that it was changed. However, I will say tonight, that has been the crutch. The schoolboy roll-up finish, I seen that a lot tonight. So I think that was going, if we didn't really want you to lose, oops, roll up. Maul and chain.
Yeah. No, exactly. The other thing, too, is it was the roll-up pin. You're right. We did see that a lot tonight. So that was something, and we'll talk more about that. Again, for people that are just tuning in now, this is not Joel Pearl. You know that. He is in Montreal, so I'm covering. I did not have time to change this, so just I'll be updating you throughout the show. And I'm new at the post show, so just so you're aware of that.
It's okay. You're doing amazing, Joel Pearl. I mean, Rob.
But after that, we had the backstage meetup between Tommy Dreamer and Bully Ray. Santino announced that they will have a Busted Open Live, and Dave LaGreca will be the moderator at Impact No Surrender. So basically the way I took this was that they are going to just talk it out, I guess, what they were kind of doing, right?
I don't think that's what's going to transpire.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's not what's going to happen, but I think that's what they were trying to sell us. But
yeah,
it was weird. And Bully Ray, who is one of those guys who just he gets to you because he's doing his job so damn well.
Yes,
that you just like I was watching him and just I'm like he is such a prick. And he's doing his job.
He got me, gal. He got me. I have to audibly curse at you.
Yeah. Yep. You're doing your job. if you got me, you're doing good. Because I'm the one person that usually defends every wrestler because of how good they are. And when I can just be like, you know what, Tommy Dreamer, I just
beat him up, Tommy.
You know. You know that it's good. So, and I liked at the end of this how they were going back and forth. It reminded me of when I was a kid and going back and forth with my little brother. You know, it reminded me of that because you know you could tell that Tommy Dreamer still had love for Bully and Bully for a second kind of showed that he still had a like there was something there, but he still was trying to be the bully. So
yeah,
that was interesting. But we'll have to see. I'm kind of hoping LaGreca turns heel for whatever reason. I don't know.
You and Joel have very polarizing different opinions because at first Joel was like, man, I don't understand what Dave LaGreca was doing. And he kind of looked like a chump, which I said because when he first showed up, Bully was like, get the hell out of my way. Dave LaGreca was like, what the hell did I do? But he left. I was like, no, beat him up, Dave. Don't let him talk to you like that. But now to have them doing it like a talk out, it's giving me Wrestling Wedding. It's going to start off okay. Yeah. I don't know what's going to transpire. Maybe Dave LaGreca is going to take a bump. I would watch that. But also, imagine if you're listening to this podcast and mid-pod just hear, I don't know what's going to transpire, but I think it's funny. I also liked how at the end, Bully Ray was like, gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss. You're either leave this company or I'm not doing it. Loser leaves town. Do it my way. I'm talking. Like, who does that? He was literally Cartman in that moment. And I was like, you know what? I kind of live. I've been giving Bully Ray grief on this channel since he came here. And I was like, yo, I'm sick. But today, for the past two or three impacts, I've been like, damn, Bully Ray, you're getting under my skin in a way that I understand. I don't want to like you, but I get it.
Yeah, exactly. He treats people like they're butters. You know?
Yes, he is literally Cartman right now in Impact, and everybody is butters to him.
Mickey James, everything. That's a great point. I didn't put that like together at all. We do have a Humper Chat from our guy Ricardo. He says Kenny King is not my cup of tea. Too much heel by the numbers, paint by the numbers, as he says. Since we don't have, I usually try to do it by the match, but it's just so much easier for me to just go ahead and read that. And I would agree with that. Tonight's main event we'll get into, but that's a good point. And I love watching Kenny King wrestle, though. I mean, hell, just good stuff.
I don't think Kenny King is very much heel by numbers. I'm more of the opinion that he's still finding where his heel stride is, and we're seeing him get a little bit more vicious since the Speedball Mike Bailey. I would give you that more when he was in, especially Honor No More, but then again, I did not like Honor No More, so they could paint the Van Gogh, and I'm like, that's crap. So, so I mean, like, I get it to an extent, but I think there's more to this paint by heel numbers, you know what I mean? There are other heels, and I won't name names, who are very formulaic, you know. At least Kenny King, at least he's funny. I'll give him that. At least he's funny. A lot of heels are just like cheap heat, yelling, insulting, catchphrase.
Yep. Just same old, just in and right out. Same thing, just over and over and over. We have another super chat from MA. Soko, I think. If I got that wrong, please let me know. Go fight Tyrus, Bully. I don't want to lose to Tommy. I don't want to lose Tommy. I'm fine with anybody. That's the only time I'll probably root for Bully. Right there.
That's funny. Like, get out of here. Lose a Leafs town. Honestly, I think it should be a double count out. Both of the Leafs town. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Both leave town, but I don't know how. But I also don't want to see Bully Ray fight Tyrus. Is that wrong to say? I don't want to see that.
I don't exactly. I mean, that's the easiest way to say it. I just avoid. I mean, I saw I don't like going after people, but I saw like clips from the NWA show, and I was just like, people paid money to watch this, and I just feel bad. So, but
the best way to put it is, because I do watch a lot of Drag Race as well, and there's a saying by the Boulay brothers that say, drag is art and art is subjective. Wrestling is art and wrestling is subjective, and I'm judging your wrestling on how it assaults my eyes. Sometimes it's great because, like, I can see people get poked up, and even though I cringe when I watch a lot of blood, but I could also see people do a fine technical match and be like, yo, what is happening here? You got what?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's subjective. It's subjective.
Yeah, exactly. That's the best way. That's the best way to put it. You hit it right on the head. My notes disappeared.
You're totally fine. I write down my notes, so you're totally fine. They look like chicken scratch tonight.
Yeah, it's... it's good. That's people that watch Coexisting are used to this, so that's great. it's like a normal show. So
it was the Macklin versus Rhino match next.
Yep, thank you. I had
got you, homie.
What I had Masha, and then it's like, nope, that's not next. So yeah, Steve Macklin versus Rhino. Something that appeared for me, like, just that was really cool for this match that just kind of shocked me, is it was after the Tommy Dreamer and Bully Ray, and then seeing Rhino is I grew up being an ECW guy, uh-huh. and getting to see these three guys, it just kind of like, I can't believe these guys are still going at it. It just makes me so happy. So that made my night more than anything, like watching mm-hmm. that show. So I knew Steve Macklin was going to get this victory. I think it was yeah. pretty much obvious. And I just love watching Steve Macklin. He's one of my favorites to watch. Rhino does what he does best, makes other people look good. He's been doing that for years.
Yeah.
Was there anything that stood out for you in this match?
And particularly with the storyline that's been going on with Macklin, it's one of those things where it's like it's another hurdle for Macklin to go to on his way to the main title scene. Half the people in this qualifier, he's already beaten. He's already proven himself time and time again. But there was for a hot second, just the briefest of moments, I thought that Rhino might have gotten it. I think it was around the mid-match part where he had set up for the gore the first time. Macklin reversed it. But then I think Rhino flipped him or something like that. And then he was setting up for the gore. And then Macklin got out the ring and was like, I'm not going to get hit with that. Because like a Rhino gore is a one-hitter quitter. That's the haymaker there. So I completely get it. But I'm also of the mind now where I think Macklin has proven his worth. Where I feel like we need to pull the trigger on Macklin. Have him wrestle Josh Alexander, or if it's not Josh Alexander, whoever the champion is, but Macklin has beaten like literally almost everyone who's qualified for that champion for the four-way. I think with the exception of PCO, and that's only because he hasn't wrestled PCO.
Wrestled him, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with you 100%. Steve Macklin, I honestly thought that he would have been a champion. I do think that Josh Alexander might actually be the one that drops that title to him. I think that might be the way to go. Because right now, I mean, they have so many great wrestlers at Impact, but I honestly think that Macklin can do it. There's no reason why he couldn't. And maybe it's because I've liked the guy since I could really remember. Even when he was with the previous company, that was the one guy I liked out of the, I liked Wesley Blake too, but he was the one that stood out for me. Mm-hmm. So I've always liked watching him, and I thought that was a great signing for Impact when they got him. And I think he has star written all over him. I just,
agreed.
Hope they go that route pretty soon. But Josh Alexander, the same. Like, they're doing great with him too. So if they decide to continue to roll with that, I just think that Macklin needs to probably be that. I think he needs to win the title sometime in 2023. That's probably the easiest way to say it.
Yeah. No, totally agree. I think that Josh Alexander being the standard bearer, the Impact, the flagship for the men's division, absolutely the right call. He looks great. He wrestles great. He delivers an impassioned promo. Even if sometimes it's a little heelish, it's still great. I think Macklin, Alexander passing the torch to Macklin, absolutely amazing. And I also want to shout out Impact Wrestling in the way of, I always forget that he was in Forgotten Sons. I always forget that. And the fact that he's here, like, he is completely different. It's the same thing with Big Con. He was in Ascension. And the way that Impact can take these wrestlers that we seemingly forget or have trained to be like, I don't care about them, and make them into these brand spanking new stars, or the stars that they always were but never had the chance to show. Ridiculous. I want to see Macklin as champion, because I think Macklin would be an amazing champion. I also enjoyed the program with Macklin and Moose, so I would love to see Moose try to run that back against him for the championship. And I know the match between Josh Alexander and Steve Macklin is going to be it's going to be so good. So good.
Yes. Yeah, it will be fantastic. So going on from that, obviously, Steve Macklin won. We go from Steve Macklin to Johnny Swinger, who came out with Zicky Dice to take on the one and only Barry Horowitz.
I have no idea who that was, but I got a kick out of it. I thought he was going to take on Action Mike Jackson. I'm like, you don't want that. He really took it to Trey Miguel last week. You don't want that.
Barry Horowitz is a man that has been wrestling since the 80s. he's basically been a glorified, I mean, the easiest way to say it is jobber. I mean, he's been a jobber forever. In the mid-90s or late to mid-90s, he got a good run. He beat Chris Candido in a WWF match. Mm-hmm. And that was the first win that he ever had, they said. It was just, it was like a big, like, big upset. And that's kind of how he, that's how, like, his name got somewhat, like, people started knowing, because it was kind of like the first time people in my age group ever saw, it's like kind of like a jobber in WWF win a match.
Uh-huh.
Or at least where it stuck together. But yeah, he kind of just stuck around, and then next thing you know, you see him in WCW. Mm. And he just kind of always been around. So it was interesting to see him. That was not who I was expecting.
I actually was expecting Mike Jackson. Literally, I was. But I feel like I had saw a clip, an old clip of Johnny Swinger actually beating Mike Jackson. But he cheated.
Yeah.
He cheated.
And that's true. Scott says Bobby Heenan used to call him Barry Horowitz. And that is true.
Damn.
Yeah.
Bobby Heenan with the zingers, yo.
Yeah. There's somebody, if they haven't yet, somebody needs to come out with a book of just Heenan, like Heenanisms. There's so many good ones.
Instead of hedonism, Heenanisms. Yeah.
There's so many good ones. Like, man, we have another Humper Chat. This one's from Amanda B. She says, Zicky Dice is a treasure, and I'm so happy to see him on Impact. Missing Joel this week, but love seeing Rob fill in. Krista is killing it like usual. Well, thank you, Amanda. Appreciate that.
We love everybody here. And yes. Joel Pearl in disguise. Rob, yeah. Rob yeah. Version 2 is doing amazing. Yeah.
I'm trying. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, I knew it. But if you, like, I'm not kidding. If you've watched my show,
mm-hmm.
What happened there with the notes, that happens almost every week. So it's like I'm back at home. So it's good.
Don't feel bad. The show I do on Saturday, me and Nick Tanna just talk and it goes off the rails. And it was the same way with Jules. And before we know, it's like, wait a minute, we didn't talk about anything we were supposed to talk about.
Yes. So, yeah, like going back to this match, you have Johnny Swinger who has Barry Horowitz and the stretch hold. And next thing you know, the demon comes out. And that distracts Swinger, and Horowitz reverses the hold, and we get another roll-up pin. And Barry Horowitz gets the big victory.
Love to see it.
Yeah. And so that actually surprised the hell out of me, too, because I was not expecting, I was thinking Swinger's just going to get that quick, easy win and move on. And I was like, oh, well, at least they brought him in for a victory. I mean, that was good. Good for him, you know?
I want them to be serious about this Johnny Swinger thing. I low-key, very low-key want them to be like, have them go for the championship, you cowards. Like, it could start off with a Barry Horowitz. That's all I'm going to hear now. It could be a Mike Jackson. It could even be a, I'm trying to think of who's another quote-unquote stooge who would do something. And it could build up to like an Eddie Edwards. I think it'll be hilarious. It'll be funny. And then he meets Steve Macklin at the top and instantly dies. So.
Yeah. No, for sure. That would be good.
That'd be really funny.
I just pictured that too. Just
like the Mortal Kombat thing. Like they used to have like the sticks where they have each person, and it'd literally be like, wow, he could actually do it. And then he goes to fight Steve Macklin and he makes that man literally evaporate.
Yeah.
Like, guys, stop it. We let this go on for too long. What? Yep. Stop it.
Yeah, they're just having too much fun. Like, well, yeah, no. Nope. That's enough. We have another super chat from M.A. Solko, and he says, I want a Swinger autograph 0 to 50 sign, crowd sign on eBay. I can use it in Vegas next weekend, and he's still 0 to 50.
M.A. Solko is our version of Iceman Intel, because he's out here. You should get him to take a picture like this with your 0 to 50. He's like, you got tonight's the night, daddy.
There you go. That would be good, too. I'd love that.
That'd be pretty funny.
So then we get Moose for a backstage interview. He says he's going to get even with, I believe he's, this is where my, I lost internet for a minute, but I believe he said Joe Hendry, but I was not sure. Okay.
Yeah, he wants to get even with Joe Hendry so bad because he's blaming Joe Hendry for all of his problems. And I'm like, Moose, you're also a jerk.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like that was, and then yeah, that was that whole thing was just, I was baffled by that. But the Moose is one of those guys where it's just like he's so damn good, but why is he such a jerk? Like it's just like
he's an omega jerk. Like yeah, for no, he's like he's up there. He's not like super jerk. Like right, he's right, like right under Bully Ray. Just, like, Bully Ray will actually set your house on fire like Randy Orton. Moose might just trap you and tell you he's going to set your house on fire. Just, so you run home and your house isn't on fire.
Yeah, like, right under. Yeah, exactly. Like, that, you probably put it perfect because, like, Moose won't set the house on fire. Orton will set the house on fire, but he'll let you out. Bully Ray is going to set the house on fire and you're still in the house. So,
and, like, Randy's going to pose in front of it like.
Yeah. Yeah, just like that meme with the little girl, like you always see, like just smiling.
Yeah,
Bully Ray is right beside her. Yeah,
Randy Orton, we know, like he said, he'll let you out, but this is him in front of your house.
Yeah, yep, exactly. but oh, man, so going back, we have a No Surrender qualifier match. The Eddie Edwards taking on Heath.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Edwards takes control of the match pretty much right away. He hits Heath with a tope suicida. This match goes back and forth really quick. I was actually a big fan. Heath hits Edwards with a power slam. One of my favorite moves, believe it or not. I love the power slam. It's
a clean power slam is really.
Yes, exactly. Like Randy Orton, going back to him, has one of the best ones. Dustin Rhodes still has one of the best ones. Yes,
I was going to say Dustin next. Dustin's power slam is clean.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you get this match. I really enjoyed this match. I really did. It was going back and forth. Eddie hit Heath with the Tiger Driver. And then we have Eddie going for the Die Hard Driver, but the lights go out and we hear the thunder go. The announcers bring up PCO. And that distracts Eddie Edwards. And then Heath nails him with the wake-up call. Heath gets the pin, and he qualifies for the match. And then afterwards, we see PCO enter the ring, and he attacks Edwards. Or they he attacks Edwards. They basically go back and forth for a minute. But I was actually surprised Heath got the win here. But it made sense after Rhino got eliminated. Thinking about it, it actually makes a little bit more sense. But I liked it. I thought
for sure Eddie was going to qualify since PCO qualified, but I am on the opposite end of the spectrum, Rob. The wrestling was fine.
Yeah.
But my energy dipped. Maybe I ate right before and then the food was making me sleepy, you know, like, but this one, it just wasn't for me. But when PCO came out at the end, that's when I was like, okay. And commentary did put over that the last time Eddie Edwards and PCO were in Las Vegas, Eddie Edwards buried PCO alive or undead, depending on how you look at the situation. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, Heath winning, I like it. I'm really surprised Eddie Edwards didn't qualify. However, I do see Eddie Edwards now screwing PCO out of that. I mean, it's not like we know. Not for nothing. I don't think PCO was going to win that regardless. So
yeah. And I think I have a soft spot for Heath because he has kids, you know.
He's got so many kids, of them.
You know? Yeah. I mean, who knows? Like, he's like the Nick Cannon of wrestling. So
not Rob. Not the Nick Cannon of wrestling. That's funny.
Got a Greyhound bus full, man. You know.
That's funny. And earlier in the night, Macklin stole from him, used the wake-up call on Rhino.
Yes.
I guess you could say, since he got all those kids, it was a payback for him using his move. Gotta win the championship for the children.
Yeah, win that title for the kids. Yeah, Got to, man. But and I really do have like a soft spot for Heath. Mm-hmm. I've absolutely loved the guy. Always, for whatever reason, I think what did it for me for Heath was going back to his WWE days when he was losing.
He's on that losing streak. That was brutal.
And then bringing in they brought in the legends, he lost to them. And sort of like how Johnny Swinger lost tonight. It was like that. It was really good to see.
Justice and, for Johnny Swinger. I want Johnny Swinger, world champion, do an impact, you cowards.
Yeah. Yes. Man, so good.
Sorry.
No problem. We have Alicia Edwards taking on Masha Slamovich. Knockouts champion Mickie James comes out for commentary. Mickie James with that.
Missed the design backstage with Sammy Callahan. Oh yeah.
Yep. Sorry, I did miss that.
Nah, you good. And there's Father Mitchell after that one. I got you. Like I said, the chicken scratch is alive.
You're right. Yeah, you were right. The design came out, or well, cut a promo backstage. They talked to Sammy Callahan, and Cody Deaner brought up a couple of tidbits and basically said that they were challenged by Frankie Kazarian and Yumura. When they said that they were going to be wrestling next week, I was like, man, could we just have that match tonight where I have Kushida and Chris Bay and those two, like in that tag team match? That would have made my...
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tonight,
you can't have too much. That's too much. You're overstimulated. By the time the main event comes around, this is you like, I cannot take anymore. I'm so tired.
That's true. And obviously my notes like are all over the place tonight because I should just be using the website, but it's crazy.
Don't worry about it. Listen, we are not getting paid by Impact Wrestling. I mean, if y'all want to, we're here. Yeah. Impact, holler at us. If not me, talk to our good friend Sean Rossap. But we just here to have yuck yucks. It's professional wrestling and we're here for the clownery. And anything you miss, like I said, I got the chicken scratch on deck.
Yeah. But I'm going to get your thoughts because a few weeks ago, one of our podcasts, The Wrestling Perspective, they had an interview with, they had an interview with Cody Deaner, and he really talked up about Sammy Callahan and just the whole thing about the design. What are your thoughts on the design? I'm just curious, just before we move on to the next match, I just want to hear what you have to say about them. What do you think?
I like where the design is going now. For a while when they were with Eric Young, it seemed like it was kind of stuck on a treadmill where they kept losing all the time. And I feel like the way that they were built is that they're a serious group. Now with Diener in the lead, it's become more stoic and a lot less violent, if you will. Like, it's like, Diener, I know you're capable of it. I literally seen you kill Eric Young on national television. You probably want to lay low for a while, you know? But it's like, I want them to get more back to the violent by design instead of just kind of like the design. It seems to be more like of a mind fuck cult, if you will. It seems more of that now rather than before when Eric Young was just going out there beating people up. I like the idea of the death machine with them because on paper, that's a match made in heaven. But trying to strip Sami Callihan of his identity for the design, to me, don't make sense. I think that's what makes him a perfect fit for the design. I feel like Diener just wants to make sure he can control Sami Callihan because Sami Callihan is a self-serving person as well. If it comes to the championship, I'm not going to give it to you, Diener. I'm taking that. And I don't think, maybe Diener thinks he don't think he can beat Mr. Cactus Driver 97. So,
yeah. No, yeah. Exactly. I think you put it best. That's probably what I would have said too. Because I've really liked Cody Diener's work a lot.
Yeah.
It's really good. But yeah, we go to Father James Mitchell with Marty Bell and Allison Kay. He talks about Rosemary's father. And I actually cracked up at this. They go back and forth. He's talking about the hex to get the knockout titles. Allison says they're here to exterminate.
I wrote it down because I'm like, that is corny, but I'm gonna only hear that now. So
yeah,
congrats,
that,
you guys.
And that made me laugh. Like, I'm like, did she just say that? And I was like, I even said like to myself, like thinking, I'm like, there's no way in hell I'm gonna get that right on the show. So but yeah, they say they're gonna go after him. And the best part of this whole thing was James Mitchell says, like, when you make a deal with the devil, you can't spend much time there. And he kind of walks away, and they both have a like little conversation about, well, did you have a deal with the, did you make a deal? Did you sign a deal? And
I read the fine print.
Yeah. I'm like, that's not too bad, because James Mitchell is one of those guys too, that he's been around forever.
Yeah.
And just seeing him on the screen is one of those things where it's just like, that's another guy that drove me nuts, but he's still
kicking. Yep. He's still doing it. I don't know if this was a throwaway line, but I did peep, and let me just make sure if I have it. He said that when you sell your soul to the devil, you're always busy. Now, if you excuse me, I have some havoc to attend to. You mean Jessica? Because we have been on, when is havoc coming back? We love Jessica because she's sick. But at the same time, when Father Mitchell came out last week, he was like, Jessica, nice to meet you. Something familiar. I'm like, oh no. Because now I don't want Death Dolls to break up. I'm in love with Jessica. I love her. I love her. I like Havoc too. But I'm like, is this how we lose Jessica? Darn.
Yeah. Jessica, she's great. She really is. I got to watch, I've seen a lot of her matches, so she's awesome. We have a super chat from my friend Eric Freeds. He says, great show so far. I'm hoping Giselle Shaw is the next women's champ. I got tickets to Rebellion in April. Would you have Macklin win the title before or at Rebellion? Well, I think Alexander's gonna, I could see that, but
I want to say I could see Alexander holding it until Sacrifice. Oh, yeah. I feel like that's mid, or wait, Sacrifice is the one that's at the end of the summer or the beginning of the summer?
Sacrifice is usually, let's see here. Now I got to look, because
Because I could see him losing it right either at the beginning of the summer or the end of the summer. So Macklin can really have a strong program going into the new year to set up going forward. Because I don't see Macklin as a couple of month champion. I see him as, like, if it's a couple, it's going to be like 6 months.
Sacrifice might be next month. Yeah, Sacrifice is next month. Yeah, it's in Toronto.
Wait, so you said in Toronto?
Yeah, I think St. Clair College is where Windsor, Ontario, Canada.
Aren't they both from Canada, though?
Because
I know for sure Josh Alexander's from Canada. And yeah. After talking to Joel Pearl, I thought Canadians were nice. As it turns out, they are vicious. And they do love their wrestling.
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean... I thought you were saying that just talking to Joel Pearl, you'd realize it was vicious, but no, Steve Macklin's from New Jersey.
Oh, well, see, Impact, I like watching patterns of things. Impact is not WWE. They will not send your hometown hero to go kiss Scott D'Amore's ass. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, can you imagine if Macklin pins old boy in Toronto?
Oh, man. Ooh, they would not like that, but...
They would not like that!
That would actually be entertaining, though.
That would be sports entertaining. I would get a good cackle. I love the chaotic option. That's why I want Johnny Swinger to pin Steve Macklin, like somebody said in chat.
Yeah. The one thing, too, is Tom Phillips said tonight on commentary, they haven't been in Canada for, I think, 3 years. So, yeah, just do that, and then they won't have to come back for 3 more years. So
yeah, because the Canadians won't let them back.
So there you go. That's how it'll happen. But oh man, so we have Masha. I think we're good to go now. I think
yeah,
we're good. Okay, so we have Masha versus Alicia Edwards. Knockouts champion Mickey James joins the commentary for the match. The bell rings. Edwards gets a few punches in, but it's over rather quickly as Masha just hits, grabs Edwards and hits her with the snowplow like right away.
This poor girl got mangled.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I literally looked up and I was like, "What the hell happened?"
And she tried, like you said, because she gave her the stiff strikes. But then once Masha said, "All right, playtime's over, little," she ragged all poor Alicia Edwards. Yeah. Her gear was nice, though.
Yeah, it was good. And I'm not kidding you. I literally had to rewind because I'm updating the website as I do the results, and I look up and I'm what the hell
it
just
was
happened?
Over.
Yeah,
it was over.
I saw the snowplow, but I go, I don't know what happened. So I'm like, oh. That happened. Okay, well, that was quick. And next thing you know, Masha's attacking Edwards, and we see Mickey James going for the save, which I knew, obviously, they were going to...
Yeah.
I knew that was going to happen once
Something was going to happen. She was in commentary. I knew something was going to happen.
Yeah. Mickey turned her back, and then they had a little face-off and went head-on, and Masha got the best of it, and referees had to break it up because she put the same rear naked chokehold on Mickey James as well. So that was pretty much over when it started. I mean, I know we're a week away, and you guys will, I assume, probably do you do predictions next week? Will you do predictions?
Yeah,
on it?
We'll do predictions the day before because we're also going to cover No Surrender on Friday as well.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I mean, I don't see how there's any way that Masha doesn't win that title, but I'm...
Oh, yeah, that's what me and Joel were saying. Like, it was good for Mickey to put up a hell of a fight against Jordynne Grace, but we also think that Masha Slamovich is going to mangle Mickey James. And if she does it... And listen, this is nothing against Mickey James. I think she is an amazing talent, and that woman deserves She needs to be put on the Mount Rushmore of women's wrestling on some G mess, because she's really good and she really hones her craft and helps other women. But Masha Samovich is different. There's no other way to put it. She's different. I've even seen some of her stuff that she did in Japan. She's different. I'm surprised. And as much as I love Jordynne Grace, I was surprised Jordynne Grace beat her. She's going to absolutely mangle Mickie James. And if Mickie James beats her, Mickie James is that girl. But I don't see it. I'm sorry. I look at the cards. I don't see it, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm with you right away. Part of me thinks, like, I was surprised that Mickie James got the win. I honestly thought that was it. Like, when she won, I didn't think she was going to win the title. I thought that was, like, it. But then after seeing they set her up for Masha, I was like, well, maybe they just didn't want Jordynne Grace to lose to her this way. But
I can still see Jordynne Grace losing, because me and Joel flirted with the idea of every time Jordynne was champion and Masha was the challenger, Masha lost. And now you could flip that. If Masha's the champion, every time Jordynne challenges, Jordynne loses. Because I think it'll be a really good stamp on Masha's card to finally beat Jordynne Grace. And if I'm not mistaken, Jordynne Grace got the best of her twice.
Yeah. Yep.
Once in a regular match and another one. Yeah, because that other one, she put her through a door. Oof.
Yeah. They've wrestled four times, and Masha has only beaten her once, and that was at Pro Wrestling Guerrilla last November. So,
okay. I mean, I do think it'll be a nice stamp in her cards. If I'm not also mistaken, Masha beat Deonna Purrazzo too. And I put Masha now, but I put Jordynne Grace and Deonna Purrazzo as like benchmarks in the women's division, in the knockouts division over there. Because one is a technical goddess and the other one, you're not. That's a powerful woman. She ripped phone books for fun. Come on now. Like, what are you going to do against that? Like, she can outpower most of, like, if you could beat either one of these girls, like, and I give it to Masha, because Masha too is a violent woman, and I love it. I love it. It's in the best way. She's a violent woman. So it's like, yes.
Yeah, and Masha, in singles matches, Deonna's 2-1 against her, but in the 4-way match that they had, Masha defeated Deonna and Killer Kelly and Taylor Wilde at the Hard to Kill.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, it's Masha. Impact's women's division is just, I just love watching it.
It's always superb. Always. Yes.
Good stuff. I was just thinking about when you were talking about Masha and Jordynne Grace, I went back obviously to some of their earlier matches. I was just thinking, I'm like, the first time that her and Jordynne wrestled against each other, that was one of the best matches that I've ever like seen. Like,
I want to see that match, because I've never seen her and Masha wrestle outside of Impact, but I've been following Jordynne Grace for a long time, Impact, and to see how far she's come, it's like Jordynne Grace is a future Hall of Famer, and honestly, I want her to beat up everyone. I love her. I think she's great. I think she's so great.
Oh yeah, yep, yeah, she's absolutely the best. Yeah. So we had Crazy Steve challenged Trey Miguel to a Monsters Ball match and no surrender. This match I was kind of surprised by, or not, I shouldn't say surprised. I was just kind of, I wasn't expecting Monsters Ball, I guess.
Makes sense for Crazy Steve, but not Trey Miguel.
Yeah. I think that's probably the best way to put it, too. Trey Miguel is badass. and I wonder, maybe it's just somebody to put, like, just in front of him for now, because I don't see Crazy Steve winning this belt from him. Like, I just don't see that happening. I think Trey's going to hold on to this title for a while, or at least I hope so. Mm-hmm. Trey Miguel I just love watching the guy wrestle. But does this match do? Will this match? I was just kind of, I just pretty much shrugged my shoulders. Basically, it was just like, eh. I was just like, okay. Well, I'm always happy to watch Trey Miguel wrestle. It's just, it was one of those things where it's just like, really, Monster's Ball for this?
I don't hate it. I just feel it's the wrong person. Considering how Black Taurus had been built up before Trey Miguel captured, well, he cheated to win the X Division and has been a cheater ever since. He's doing real heel work. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying, after all of that build up that we put into Black Taurus, if this is just a let me injure Crazy Steve so Black Taurus could get his revenge later, that I'd be okay with. I'm on board with. Yeah. But at the same time, I don't want to see either one of these guys lose. I think Trey Miguel holding on to it is fine. But with the X Division title, I don't feel so bad when it changes hands, because everyone who holds the X Division championship can wrestle their butt off. They're really, really good. So if you lose to someone, you just had an off day. It's a very competitive division. So it's like I wouldn't hate it if he lost it, but I feel like it should go to Black Taurus. Black Taurus should be in Crazy Steve's position. But if this is a long way to get it in Black Taurus versus Trey Miguel, I don't hate it. I don't see how Monster Ball worked out, considering how Trey Miguel last week was like, get this scary shit away from me. Like, So I don't know how this is gonna work out, but I also kind of don't see Crazy Steve winning. I would like him to, but in my heart, I want him to kayfabe, get injured, or does something really messed up so Black Taurus goes berserk and takes it off of him.
That's perfect. I agree with you on that. I'm just kind of baffled by it more than anything, because they wrestled at Trey Miguel and Black Caruso wrestled at the Countdown to Hard to Kill, and it was an okay match.
Trey Miguel won. He cheated, but he won. He tagged him, and the way they had built up Black Caruso up until that point was like, okay, I could see him winning, and not for nothing, Trey Miguel, you're that guy, you're him, but it's Black Taurus's turn. You always have the X Division title. So I don't know how this is going to go, but if this is a roundabout way to get it back to Black Taurus, maybe. But it could just be, hey, Trey Miguel's screwing over your faves, get into it.
that's a good point too. Maybe it's because I've loved Fandango, like the gimmick. Mainly because of Tyler Breeze and him back in the day. But you had Santino and him basically backstage with Jonathan Gresham and Mike Bailey. Santino makes it official, says that Jonathan Gresham and Mike Bailey will meet at No Surrender. But beforehand, Dirty says that he's going to make a tag team match between the two so they can scout each other. And they will face the Motor City Machine Guns. And Santino you could tell by his face, he didn't like the idea like at first, but then he's like, actually, that's not a bad idea. And I think it's just because of who he was, or just what he reminds me of. I just enjoyed the segment. And I think that's why I got a kick out of it. I think they're going to set it up where it's just the typical way how they do these things. Like, it doesn't matter if it's WWE, AEW.
Can they coexist?
Yes. And you can tomorrow at 3:00 Eastern on Fightful Overbooked. But
nice
anyways,
segue. That's classy.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's one of them's going to hit each other or something. I'm willing to bet. I don't see, they're not going to beat the Motor City Machine Guns, even though that it's going to be a hell of a match, or at least I hope it is. Yeah. I mean, you have four of the best wrestlers at Impact.
Yeah, but you have, like, Not for nothing. If there's a pillar of tag team wrestling and Impact, it's going to be Motor City Machine. Motor City Machine Guns. Holy crap.
Oh, it's okay. I had a slip of the tongue when I said it on my show, and I went the other way with it. So,
Motor City Machine.
Yeah, and you know, like, whoa. I stopped, but it was like,
you're not allowed to make mistakes, you wrestling memer.
Yeah, well, the things we've said on our show, wow. But I'm excited for this match. This is the match I'm excited for the most at No Surrender. Jonathan Gresham could wrestle the Invisible Man, and I'm going to pay money to watch it. That's
a good point. I feel that same way now about Speedball Mike Bailey. And I had said this last week, and I'm going to say it again. I am campaigning that whenever there's award ceremonies for Wrestler of the Year, Speedball Mike Bailey needs to be in that conversation. Because since I'm going to say August or November of last year, Speedball has been tearing it up. And that 60-minute classic with Josh Alexander, come on now. Such a good match. Such a good game. So are good are.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, man. We agree so much. It's great. I like it. The main event, Kenny King taking on Rich Swann. We already answered a question earlier about this, but Kenny King, I just like watching the man wrestle. He's good. Mm-hmm. And I, of course, like watching Rich Swann wrestle. Kenny King takes control right away. Then we see both men exchange heavy strikes. King hits Swan with a nice spine buster, goes for a pin. We see Swan kick out. They just start hitting. I mean, these guys, what I loved about this match is they both look like they were hitting stiff shots, but yes, that's because they make it look so good.
I will say Rich Swan and Chris Bay and this Ace Austin too, if it's thigh slaps or them kicking you, I believe they have kicked the taste out of your mouth. You can no longer feel your teeth and your jaw. That's literally sweet chin music. Some of them are thigh slapping when I can see it.
Oh, yeah.
But these kicks from these two, I believe that. I believe in Joe Hendry, and I believe in those kicks.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that pile driver finisher says, I usually don't do this for the non-super chats, but thank you. Thanks.
Joel is going to come back next week and be like,
"What the hell?
Why are people booing me?"
Yeah. Just in case you joined, I've said I would tell people throughout the show. He's in Montreal. He's supposed to be talking to Sami Zayn tomorrow, so that's good for him. I still think he's there to investigate the Montreal screw job, but
I said he's there to visit his father, Scott D'Amore, work on their father-son relationship. We don't really know why he's there, but I'm sure somebody on Twitter will tell you that Fightful doesn't have the scoops and we're all frauds. So thank you for being a part of our scam. Yeah.
That'll happen. That'll happen even after Elimination Chamber. So it's great. It's
fantastic. Fraudsters.
The gift that keeps on giving there. But anyways, going back to this match, Swan hits King with that Poison Rana. Ugh. Anytime I see that move, I mark out. That's the easiest way to say it. I just mark out. I say a couple words that freak my dog out. These two, I didn't want this match to end necessarily because I was having so much fun. But I knew that it obviously had to because of the time, but it was just like one of those, it's like, man, 5 more minutes, you know, just 5 more minutes of this going back and forth. These guys were just killing each other. Mm-hmm. Swan hits the Royal Flush, gets the pin. After the match, King gets a cheap shot in on Swan, starts attacking him. Josh Alexander comes out for the save. And Swan accidentally hits Josh Alexander with the super kick. And Josh Alexander, man, he sells that super kick. It looks like he lost an eye.
He was looking in the corner is like, how dare you hit me in the house of the Lord? Oh, my God, I cannot believe you would do this. I just got my Botox. It was the look of sheer disbelief. He played that up very well.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, he looks like he is selling that eye really, really well right now. That's good stuff. But I was laughing because I was like, man, he's selling the hell out of that eye. Like, he's really doing it. Like, this is, I mean, like, this is Popeye type stuff, like, right there.
Not Popeye.
I'm Listen, telling you.
The amount of Popeye olive oil references I've made this week between Seth Rollins' red shoes, and now you're saying it's Popeye?
Hey, it's fake. There you go.
It's fake. But
that's what it looked like. And it I might is. Have to, now that I say that, I might actually have to do, like, a Photoshop job of this, because... That's good.
I mean, he made it look like, wow, I can't believe you would kick me advertently. And it's not like you don't see Kenny King literally walking right by the post that you're in the corner laughing, looking at you like you're stupid.
Yeah.
So this is one thing I will complain about Josh Alexander with. A lot of the time they make him seem like a bonehead. And I noticed it really with the Bully Ray storyline. He's like, everyone's telling me what not to believe. And it's like, bro, okay, we get it. You should have told him to screw off a long time ago. But then here you go try to do big brain math with Tommy Dreamer. Stop it. Stop it. It really, they really be making you look like, I don't like that for you. I don't like that
for you. Yeah, I get that. That's like, and I loved it. Like, I mean, I like how they got the family involved, like, to an extent. Yeah. And then, but it's like, man, if they keep this going, they're going to have his kid, like, be the one that, like, educates him pretty soon.
His son is going to be the one to pin Bully Ray. That's how it finally ends.
Yeah, it's going to be good. But, that was Impact tonight. Pretty solid show, I thought. I enjoyed it. The one thing that I forgot to bring up was when we did see Joe Hendry tonight with the Moose beating the hell out of the car with the bat. That car looked badass to me.
Yeah.
So the fact that they were doing it to that kind of car with that, well, that window, granted, they can, that's just chump change to them, but still it was like, what the hell? And I just absolutely love that Santino just like, that's my car, like with the alarm. I was just like, but then what just did not make sense about that is like, okay, you're getting your match. Like, what the hell? That does not make like any sense.
Agreed. Because I was thinking that too. Like, didn't he already lose a title shot for the Digital Media Championship?
Yeah.
So you're trashing my car because you're mad at me because you suck.
Yeah.
So it's my fault. You got Matt Cardona to do the same thing, and Matt Cardona's life unraveled. He's got the Midas touch. Leave this blonde hair man alone. Come on now.
Yeah. I didn't. That was the one thing that I'm like, what happened here? Like, are they going the comedy route? Because if they're going the comedy route here, I don't get this part at all. Because that doesn't make sense. But
You rewarded him with a title shot. You would have been suspended. The hell? Yeah. That's my car. I'm literally the boss. If Scott D'Amore is not here, it's me. You're suspended. And without pay for my window. What's wrong with you?
Yeah. It's like, that was like it was like he was happy about it. He looked at the window. Like, he's like, hey, you know what? You get a title shot for doing that to my window. I appreciate you. Good job.
You're so strong. Yeah, you know what? You're so strong. You get a title shot. You're so strong.
that was my only issue with the show. That was, and that's saying something, because I just want the show to make sense. And that was really the only thing that didn't make sense.
Yeah.
And maybe there's that was really it. That was the only thing that just kind of, I guess, baffled me.
I do have my conspiracy theory hat. So hold on,
you're
in for a treat, Rob. You are in for a treat. So what if they had him beat up the car with a bat to introduce the .com digital media, to introduce weapons? So they had a weapon and a car, and he treated it like Street Fighter 2 bonus level.
Ooh.
Open up your third eye. I got reception. I got you. I can't have too much reception because then the aliens are going to come back.
Street Fighter 2, man. That's a callback.
Right? Because when I saw that, all I could hear was Gal's music. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, why are you beating up this car, Moose? What are you doing? But this is the same man who found the TNA championship on the ground in the trash. Was like, I'm champion. People are like, that company doesn't exist anymore. What are you talking about? This is the same Moose. Moose is unhinged. Remember what we said. He won't burn your house down with you in it, but he will burn your house down.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's the that's the best way to put it. Who, since we already said, so you brought up Street Fighter 2, and it's been forever since I played that game. Who is the green guy? The
red hair.
Like, yeah,
Blanca.
God, he scared the hell out of me when I was younger. I just wanted to add that for no apparent reason. I just think people should know that for useless information. So yeah, you guys can use that for like next time, like when, so.
When Joel gets back, everyone in chat who's here now, ask Joel, like, hey, Joel, what about Blanca? And he's going to be so confused. Yeah. And Rob is going to be like,
yeah. So, well, Krista, tell people where they can find you.
Rob, this was a lot of fun. You're the greatest. I won't tell people your name is actually Rob. You're Joel Pearl. Your secret is safe with me. Guys, you can find me anywhere you can type Cresta Star, CrestaStarr on the internet. Mondays and Wednesdays, I am live on Twitch.tv where I go over Raw and AEW Dynamite. Thursdays, I am here with Rob or Joel or whoever. Just close your eyes and pretend. I'm here discussing everything that happened on Impact. Next week on the 24th, I will be here myself, Joe Pearl, and Steven Jensen. We'll be going over No Surrender. And on Saturdays, we do Gaming Gone Weird at 1 p.m. with Nick Tana. Find me on Twitter. There's a link tree in my bio. Cresta the Star, because Elon Muskrat got your girl on Cresta Star. That being said, Rob, where can the people find you not at Joe Pearl? Because that's a lie.
Yes. You can find me at Rob Wilkins on Twitter. I also have Instagram now with only like six pictures on there, but it's at Fightful Rob. And then tomorrow at 3 o'clock Eastern, I host a show called Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. We are probably doing the predictions for Elimination Chamber and Battle in the Valley. So looking forward to that. We got a lot of things going. We might actually do a 2-hour show tomorrow because there's a lot to talk about. So I'm looking forward to that. Guys, I want to say thank you. For letting me do this. I know I am not Joel Pearl. They needed a reliever, and I did my best. So
you did great, Rob.
I appreciate that. So I do appreciate that. But he will be back next week after he finds out who the real person behind the 1997 Montreal Screwjob was, and he visits his dad, Scott D'Amore, and whatever else he needs to do in Montreal. There's a lot of things he's probably doing in Montreal. It's we don't know, but
Canadian stuff.
Canadian stuff. I know he was hoping to have poutine this morning with some people, or like he was hoping to. I saw on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He's like, who wants to? And that didn't go too well for him. I saw on Twitter, like, people were not. They were just his American friends are like, that does not sound good. So
yeah, no one has explained poutine to me in a way that makes me say, wow, I want fries with gravy and cheese curds. Because it sounds like a great concept until you say it like that, then it's no thanks.
I was like, like I'll always try it. Like I'll try it. I mean, I've been on a weight loss kick, but it's like I'll try food. It just might not go like I might not just approve of it, but I'll try it. But guys, I want to say thank you again. Krista, I want to say thank you for letting me work with you. It was a pleasure. I'm glad we got to finally do this. This is awesome. Hell, I remember when they first put you on the show, like when you got hired, I was like, this is great. This is a good call. I remember.
Hell yeah. So thanks.
I remember that day I told Sean, I'm like, that was a hell of a hire. So, I just want to say you are doing a great job here too. And I think you are doing just awesome and Know Your News is good. So I don't want to say thank you for what you've done for Fightful as well. So
thanks a lot, Rob. That means I got on makeup, girl. I'm not, you're not going to have me crying in the club. Nice try.
Going to the club. Try. No, I haven't been to the club in forever and I don't think I'm allowed at the club anymore. Somebody asked me, sir, when's the last time you brought sexy back? I'd be like, what year is it? I haven't. No.
I'm in the club all the time. What club? The Bullet Club.
Oh, there you go.
All right. I think it's time for us to go. All right. life.
All right. We will see you guys later. I got to remember that one, though. I got to do that. I'm in the club all the time. I'm going to steal that. I steal Joel stuff all the time. So there we go.
It's yours.
See you guys.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.